So you guys have been learning about Sefirot HaOmer. You're in it, right? So it's an interesting topic, and it's one that I think is a little well-trodden, perhaps. Perhaps you've heard of the idea of the chiluk between two different ways of viewing Sefirot HaOmer. I've always wanted to look into it. Have you seen this before, this idea? Okay, so I've always wanted to look into it because, as it turns out, the Bahag is the lone wolf of the Sefirot HaOmer game. He seems to be the rare voice that says that you shouldn't continue with a bracha, / you shouldn't continue at all if you miss a day. It's actually very strange. I actually saw this Dei Chemer, living in the late 1800s or so, says that he doesn't understand how it entered into the halacha, this lone opinion, and that we hold by, worry about, and therefore do not continue with a bracha if you miss one day. Right? It's an interesting thing. We're going to have to explore it in this year. I've always wanted to look into it, and this was an opportunity of me speaking out some of the svarot that I came up with, and also some of the sources that I discovered over the course of that research, and also trying to figure out why is the Bahag so important. That's why I titled this year, Sefirot HaOmer, or the nature of Sefirot HaOmer, and why it matters. Because I think at the end, maybe we'll see why the Bahag actually does actually make a difference in how we understand the nature of Sefirot HaOmer, not just as an opposing voice and a lone opinion, but actually as a very major voice and something actually important in terms of what it's signifying. Simon, you have a question?
What does Bahag stand for?
Baal Hilchot Gedolot, or Halachot Gedolot. He authored a book on halacha.
Yeah. I thought he was. Yeah.
The Gimel doesn't stand for Gaon, but if you want a biography, I guess you're going to have to Google. I don't know enough, but he is very powerful. Not usually so powerful when the very purpose of Tosfos, as you guys saw, is to refute him and say it's wrong. So again, it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch first, we'll see the Shulchan Aruch, the baseline halakha of what we do, and then we'll see how the Mishnah Berurah talks about it. B'leil Sheni Achat Tfilat Arvin, on the second night of Pesach after Marv, matchil l'spor ha'omer. You start to count the omer. V'im shachach l'spor b'tchilat ha'layla. If you forget to do it at the beginning of the night, which is where you really shouldn't be delay on mitzvot. So if you don't do it at the beginning of the night, holich v'sofer kol ha'layla. You can go on the rest of the night and count. Right? So far so good. Shachach v'lo birech. If you forgot and you didn't make a bracha, kol ha'layla, or you didn't count, and didn't make a bracha the entire night, yispar v'yom below bracha. You can then continue to count without a bracha during the day. Okay, so far, again, so good. Im shachach levarech be'echad mehayamim. If you completely forget one out of the days, bein yom rishon, bein mishar yamim, doesn't matter if it's the first day or the rest of the days. There's a whole discussion about why it would matter if it was on the first day, if he didn't even remember the first night. Sofer bishar yamim below bracha. You should count without a bracha anymore. I won't ask anybody if they're out of the count. Don't have to embarrass anybody. There's an interesting discussion, actually, if you're called upon to, like, let's say you're a Rav in a shul, if you're called upon to make the bracha and say it out loud, even if you missed the night, whether you could actually do it because perhaps of embarrassment, or if you're being yotzei other people, it might be different. There's lots of discussions about these kind of things. But that is what we do, right? I think that's what most people do, is that if you left it out one night, you don't make a bracha, but you continue to count the rest of the night. Why do we continue to count without a bracha? Why should you stop making a bracha? Because you missed out. You left out part of the count, right? You missed out on the bracha. Missed out on the mitzvah. We'll get into the details of that soon. But then why do you continue to count at all? Maybe if you missed out on the mitzvah, then there's no mitzvah anymore. Yes? So you should stop, right? I worry, by the way, this is why I want to have this discussion with you guys. I do worry that because we have this culture of, like, if you miss one night, you don't make a bracha anymore, that guys are like, well, then why should I do the mitzvah at all? And again, we find out here that it's really one opinion that we're relying on to say that you missed out on the mitzvah, no more mitzvah, you really don't have to count anymore. So, but why do we continue to count anyway? Because of the other opinions, right? There's 99% of Rishonim and Achronim agree that you still have a mitzvah. Okay, so also something that's pointed out by the Achronim is that this isn't exactly the hardest thing to do. You don't have to spend any money to count. You don't have to travel somewhere or find something. You don't have to say long pieces of Torah in order to count. You just make the count. So without any tircha, right, without any trouble, you could just count. So why not? Why not continue even if it's not really relevant to the mitzvah, even if you lost out on the mitzvah? If you forgot, you should continue during the day. What about women? What should women do? Should they make a bracha or not? Normally, when it comes to a mitzvah aseh shezman grama, are women chayiv in mitzvah aseh shezman grama? No, normally not, right? There's actually, I don't think there are more exceptions than the rule, but there are a lot of exceptions to that rule, pointed out by many mefarshim. What about Sfirat HaOmer? Should they go ahead and make a bracha? When it comes to other mitzvot, generally we say, I think among Ashkenazim, right? Among Ashkenazim, if a woman wants to make a bracha on the mitzvah, even though she's not chayiv to do that mitzvah aseh shezman grama, she can. Sfaradim generally don't, right? But so I think a lot of women, again, in this, you can tell me if I'm wrong in this. I'm following on the chat, by the way, if anybody wants to include any comments. But most, I would say, in my experience, try to do it with a bracha every night. Okay, so let's see what the Mishnah Berurah has to say. Mishnah Berurah says, "Minashim ve'avadim peturim mi-mitzvah zo." Women, slaves, or not chayiv in mitzvah seishah zman grama, are pater from this mitzvah. Tavi mitzvah seishah zman grama. Ve'katav ha-magen Avram. The Magen Avram says, very importantly, it's interesting, miu kvar shavya alayhu chova. They have taken it upon themselves as if it were a chov, as if it were an obligation. So they say it with a bracha, and they consider it really important, right? It seems to me that in our Medinot, I translate as areas on the sheet, but I guess you can say in our countries, in our states, I don't know, in our areas. Lo nage nashe klalis por. Women don't even count at all. They don't not just make a bracha, they don't count. V'katav b'sefer Shulchan Shlomo. The Shulchan Shlomo actually says, da'akol ponim lo yivarchu. If they do count, they shouldn't make a bracha. Why? Why shouldn't women make a bracha if they're keeping the mitzvah? On one of the days, out of the days, they will what? Was yit'u? They will, it literally means make a mistake. So perhaps to forget might be what the Mishnah Berurah means. If you look inside in the Shulchan Shlomo, which I didn't give you the text for that, but if you actually look inside in the Shulchan Shlomo, it makes it sound like they will make a mistake. If they forget, they won't know not to make a bracha the next night. They won't know not to make a bracha. So that's the mistake that they will make because they're not learned. That's what it sounds like from the Shulchan Shlomo. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Maybe. Or maybe there's another possibility is that they will forget one night and that's it. That's a problem. What about men? Wouldn't men forget one night? I'm sure nobody in yeshiva has ever forgotten one night in their entire lives. Oh, because you're very learned, right? So if it's about not knowing if you should make a bracha or not, so maybe in the Mishnah Berurah's towns, maybe men would be more learned in that area than women would be. I don't know. But if it has to do with, like, do we think that women would be more forgetful than men? I have to say from my own experience that I'm much more forgetful than my wife. And I tend to think that is a more male trait than female trait.
If you go to shul, then you'll remember it when they do it in davening.
That's true. But we're talking, that's true. You're saying women don't go to shul. That's the reason why they might make a mistake. Maybe. Interesting. I mean, like, you know, there's always the possibility that a man might not go to shul, right? But that would be crazy, right? Okay, I get what you're saying. And also he mentions another thing, which goes towards education. Gam alpi rov, most women, einam yodim perusha milot. They don't know what they're saying when they say it. That's a bit more of a difficult one. Won't explore here, but I do want to mention that the Chafetz Chaim supported the Beis Yaakov movement, right? The setting up of schools that taught Torah to women. It wasn't such a common thing, actually, in the late 1800s. The Beis Yaakov movement was a big chiddush on the scene that there should be schools that actually teach Tanakh and Musar and some halacha, you know, relevant to women as part of their curriculum. And he supported that. And in Likutei Halachot on Sota, where the Gemara in Sota is discussing the prohibition of women learning Torah, what exactly that is. Here's what the Chafetz Chaim says. I'm reading it to you. I didn't put it on the sheet. He says, Nira, he says, it seems the Chozeh, that all of this, meaning the prohibition of women learning Torah, or rather, fathers teaching their daughters Torah, you got to be specific with these kind of things. Dafka bizmanim shalifaneinu, that's specifically with generations prior to us. Shekol echad hayadar b'makom avotav. Why? Because everybody lived in their father's house. V'kabalat avot hayachazak me'od. And your tradition that you got in your house was very strong. There was a very strong feeling of continuity. It's called echad v'echad. Everybody had that. Li'itaneg b'derech shedaru avotav. That they wanted to continue how their parents acted. And he goes on about this. He says, a little bit. Aval ke'et. But nowadays, says the Chafetz Chaim, ba'avonot ha'ravim, because of our many sins, shekabalat avot nitrofef ma'od ma'od, our tradition of taking from our forefathers and passing it down, that has become very weak. V'gam matzoy she'eno dar b'makom avotav klal, and many people grow up and they leave their house, and there are many people who don't hold on to the traditions of their parents or stay even in their location. U'beprat otanch margilim atzman lilmod, and there are many people who learn in school k'tav v'lashon ha'amim, non-Jewish languages. Bevadai mitzvah rabba lilamdam. Then it's a mitzvah rabba. That's what he calls it. A mitzvah rabba, a great mitzvah lilamdam, to teach them chumash, gam neviim k'tuvim, musare chazal, kigon mesachet avot, sefer menorah d'maor. He goes on like a kind of a curriculum list of things that would be appropriate to teach women. Why? Because they were going to school and learning non-Jewish subjects. They were becoming separated from their families in more of an acute way. And this was a need to create schools that were more to their educational level. And that for the modern age, there needed to be something that was done. Okay, I'm pointing this out because when the Chafetz Chaim says in his Mishnah Berurah that women might make mistakes or they don't know the Perush Hamila, he might be really talking about his time. He might be really aware of how educated women were in Jewish subjects, which was not so much, apparently. They would just do what their parents did, and they didn't know exactly the ins and outs of the nuances of the law. And he says that now is the time to start teaching those types of things. Maybe not the law, per se. He doesn't give that in the curriculum, it sounds like. But that's a very important, aspect of why he says this. Let's see. We have a comment here. I don't know who MDV is, but he or she writes, there's no conflict between support of the Beis Yaakov movement and the acknowledgement that it was necessary because of the lack of knowledge. Exactly. That's my point, right? There is exactly that. That is exactly the point, that the fact that women have a lack of knowledge in his day, which results in a halachic paradigm, that results in a halachic conclusion to prevent women from saying a bracha, lest they forget, lest they make a mistake. That is actually what pushes him to support the Beis Yaakov. Exactly. Okay. I asked the question on the sheet, what aspect of the nature of Svirat HaOmer is the Chafetz Chaim assuming? It's kind of an open-ended question, but what's the answer to that, as you saw from the sheet, as you continue? Apparently, the problem of women making a bracha, let's just say it out, right? We haven't said it explicitly yet. That's so one aspect of this, first of all, is that Svirat HaOmer is the mitzvah seishes zman krama. The Ramban seems to say, although this is a great debate, the Ramban, Nachmanides, seems to say that it is a mitzvah seishes lo zman krama, and women would be chayiv in it. Interesting, right?
Yes.
Very fascinating. How is it not a mitzvah seishes zman krama? Go and learn. Okay. Some say that it's a manuscript error. So that's a Balabatish type of answer. Another possibility is that it's not caused by time. What is Sfirat HaOmer caused by? Does anybody know? What is it actually caused by? If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, when would you start Sfirat HaOmer? Because of the carbon. Right? It's not from the time. It happens to be the carbon is from the time.
Started from like that.
Yeah, that's true, but from your giving of the carbon.
Start the carbon, right? The carbon is brought along
with it. It's chicken or the egg, right? Okay, so.
No, I mean, the carbon, the counting comes along with the carbon, but
you can look at it.
Counting, right? The counting nowadays is a zecher for the carbon.
Well, hold on a second. That, you're assuming it's a zecher, okay?
It says it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. The Gemara does say that. We're going to see the Rambam. The Rambam might be different. What?
If it was for the carbon, then now it wouldn't be a mitzvah at all.
According to the Rambam.
It would be a zecher. It would be to recall the carbon or something like that. But the point is that the ikker, the gufa mitzvah, is not actually caused by the time per se, but rather it's caused by an action, which is related to time, of course. Okay. I get it. It's a difficult Ramban. Okay. That's for another shiur. Let's continue. We have something else. The other thing that the Mishnah Berurah assumes is the necessity of a complete count in order to say the bracha. Right. Exactly. What's the problem of the mistake? Women shouldn't even make a bracha at all, shouldn't even start with the bracha, because you need a complete count. And what if they make a mistake and forget one night? What if they make a mistake? You know, woe to us, right? So they shouldn't even start with a bracha, which assumes that the nature of Sfirta Omer is that it's one block of mitzvah, one unit, one missing piece ruins the mitzvah, right? Okay, so let's see that inside, where that comes from, right? That is exactly what I was looking for you guys to come up with. There's a couple of, there's also another thing that we'll explore in a second, another assumption here, that you shouldn't make a bracha because you might come to make a mistake, and your brachot from the beginning will have been for naught, it sounds like. Sounds like something like that. Is it retroactively levatala? You'll see an opinion like that soon, right? That it will be levatala, and you'll actually not just be doing not a mitzvah, but you'll actually be doing an avera. If it's a question on that, let's get to it first, and then you'll ask your question. All right, you have a different question?
Yeah. If it's one mitzvah, why are we saying brachot?
Ah, very good question. Lots of mefarshim ask that question, which is, why make a bracha every night if it's one big mitzvah? You should make a bracha in the beginning.
First night,
and you're good, right?
Or right before the final counting.
Maybe the final counting might be you've built it up over time, and now you're at the fun. That's an interesting suggestion as well. Oh, so we have a comment here about the possibility, bracha every night is justifiable if every night is its own mitzvah, but only if it's part of a whole count. It could be, and Rav Soloveitchik actually suggests this, that there's, even according to the opinion that's one mitzvah, you need the building up of the mitzvah over time. Each part of the mitzvah is part of the counting, creating the mitzvah. And so therefore...
So is each night a kiyum?
I forget the language that Rav Soloveitchik uses, perhaps. That's not a kiyum, but a maisa, a mitzvah, and the kiyum is at the end. Something like that. I could imagine that as being what he's... Yeah, right? Maisa, mitzvah, over the course of nights.
Like how on Sukkos. I was discussing with my dad.
Okay, on Sukkos, yeah. You make a bracha every time that you eat in the sukkah. That's true. But each time would be a separate mitzvah, presumably. Right?
There's one commandment.
It's one commandment. Lots of things are one commandment. You can wear tzitzis every day, and it's one commandment. Okay, interesting.
It's not separate.
I hear. It's interesting. Okay, why don't we see the actual Rishonim inside? Tosfos brings up the Bahag to disagree with the Bahag in very strong language. The Tosfot in Menachot, it's also in Megillah, although in Megillah I didn't put that in because it's actually less clear there if Tosfos disagrees with Bahag.
He contradicts himself.
Yeah, it's a very, very strange in that Tosfos. So I was like, I don't want to put that on the sheet and introduce some complications. But it is a complicated sukkah, so if you want to compare the Tosfoses, go for it. I would love to hear your svaras. Okay? But anyway, just a small snippet here. Od psak behilchos gedolos, the Bahag says, she'im hifsik yom echad, that if you don't do it for one night, v'lo siper, and you forget to do the count, shuv eno sofer, you're no longer allowed to count. Right? You're not allowed, you shouldn't, right? Eno sofer. That doesn't sound, maybe you're not, it shouldn't be said that you're not allowed to count, but there's no reason to. Right? Nishum debaya tmimot, because you're missing tmimut or tmimot. What is tmimot a reference to? Sheva Shabbatot tmimot tiyana. Right? Leviticus 23, the sixth parsha. Yeah, who's laning? Anybody laning? It's an out Shabbos, nobody cares, right? Okay, so. That's true. Right? It's not in the beginning of the parsha. Tamimot, right? It says that you have to have a complete count. According to the Bahag, says Tosfos, There has to be a complete count. You're missing one piece. You're missing the whole thing. It's no longer complete. You have deactivated the mitzvah. Okay? The Tosfos says, V'tema gedolahu. It is a great, I translate it as difficulty, but now I regret that. It's a great astonishment. It's probably a better translation. V'lo yitaken. It's not possible. Impossible. No, it's not appropriate to believe it, that that is true. You can, according to Tosfos, the implication is, you can continue, you forget one night, continue to count with a bracha the next night.
I thought that the Bahag said time also meant that if you miss one day, you can count for, even without a bracha for the rest of the day.
So the question, you're saying, can you count? Like, what would be the reason you wouldn't be able to count without a bracha?
It sounds like Tosfos is commenting on the fact that he says you wouldn't count at all, but he's saying, you're saying that
he says, "Eino sofer." So the question is, does he mean like you shouldn't count, or you can't count? There's no mitzvah to count anymore, which would indicate that he believes that you shouldn't. Tosfos believes that you should.
And that you with should a bracha.
You should continue with the bracha. It sounds like that's Tosfos says that entire svara is, for lack of a better word, there's probably a better word, baloney. Hold on a second. I'm looking at this chat. Someone suggests, who's this? MDB again. Maybe you keep on saying the bracha again because there's a hefsek. You know, you live your life the whole day. So that's a good suggestion. All right? Could be. Could be that within the opinion that it's one long mitzvah, you still make a bracha every night because there's a hefsek between them, which again might be about why we do it for tefillin, why Ashkenazim put in make two bracha for tefillin. Yeah?
I'm prepared for the answer to this.
Okay.
But I mean, is the counting by the day without a bracha, is that a mitzvah from a law of... It says that you should count just without a bracha. So that would seem to point that it's part of a larger thing.
You should continue to count without a bracha.
Why
would that... That would indicate... Well, who you're talking about in the Shulchan Aruch, let's say? Shulchan Aruch saying that you should continue to count without a bracha? Right? That would indicate that although they're worried about the Bahag, there's a reason to continue to count, which is that the Bahag might be wrong. And maybe there is a mitzvah. So we won't make you say a bracha. Why won't we make you say a bracha? Because we have a rule. Safik bracha lahakel. We're not sure if you have to make a bracha. We're not sure if there's even a mitzvah here. So therefore, we're going to remove the possibility of a bracha levatala, of saying God's name in vain. And therefore, you continue to count because there might be a mitzvah. Deoraita, perhaps, according to the Rama, but according to most, just the Zechar, or something like that. And therefore, you shouldn't make a bracha. Does that answer that kind of part of the question? What the Bahag says is, Shuv Eino Sofer. That's how Tosus quotes him. We would have to look at the Bahag's specific language, how I understand it, and how I think most of the Rishonim and Achronim understand it. I haven't seen anybody who says otherwise. Is that the Bahag thinks there's no mitzvah whatsoever. There's no mitzvah anymore. You lost out on the mitzvah. Tamimot was your thing, was the thing to do. That was the whole point, and you missed out on it. That's what it sounds like.
So why do we suddenly go like Bahag for this one night?
I know.
It's very weird.
Why do we care about the Bahag? Again, I was at, did I, the Stei Chemet says like this, I'm just going to say what the Stei Chemet is, beautiful, beautiful language from the Stei Chemet. I didn't have it on the sheet, but I put it, I don't know if I even put it on, I put it on my own sheet. Me'odi nifleiti be'emet, I'm having a really hard time. My time of Zacha HaOmer came. What was the Bahag so Zocha to be quoted like this and to be considered like this, like Boa Halacha Kimoto, that we are concerned about the Halacha like him, that the Torah would bring down such a Das Yachid. It's very strange. The Torah, who brings down the Bahag, also quotes all the opinions who are against him, including Rav Haigon and Rav Sadiagon and the Ri and the Rush and all the other opinions. So what's the root of the dispute, as they say? What is the reason why they disagree? Tosfos says, continue to count with a bracha even if you missed one night. And the Bahag says, no. What did you see? The Rasha, it turns out, you know, everybody quotes this in the name of the Achronim. The Achronim have a chiluk between them. It turns out it actually goes back to the early Rishonim. The Rasha and the Sefer Echinach, I found, actually already say this chiluk. So the Rush says the reason why, and it's a pretty good source, he's one of the Tosafists, he says that the Re disagreed with the Bahag because he believes, right, the Kol Laila V'Laila Mitzvah Bifnei Atzmahi, because the Re believes, meaning Tosafos believes, that the mitzvah is each and every night, a separate mitzvah, and therefore, just because you missed one night does not affect the rest of the nights. However, the Sefer Echinuch, not however, additional also says, on the flip side, right, let's flesh out the other side, the Yesh Sha'amru, he says, he's talking about the Bahag. Shemisha Shachach V'lomana Yomechad, if someone forgets and doesn't count one day, She'en Yachol Limnot Od Ba'ot HaShana. He can no longer count. By the way, if we're asking about what the Bahag means, if he means to do with the bracha or not, the Sefer Echinuch is talking about him, and he says, don't count anymore. I don't know if he's saying it's Aser to count, but he says, there's no point. It might be Aser. What would be the reason why you might think it's Aser? I'm just thinking crazily right now.
Aser what?
To continue to count, if you forget one night.
It would be nothing. Well, it
would be Aser. Okay, so it's Aser to say nothing?
It
like,
would be doing nothing.
Okay, there.
No, because the mitzvah is to count 49 days. It's not possible for you to do that.
Okay, so there'd be no point, but why would, should that be Aser? Is it Aser to be, is it Aser to do stupid things? So maybe you might come to say a bracha, but let's say you know the halacha. What? Without a bracha. What's the reason why you shouldn't be able to count at all? Like, if the Sefer Echinuch quotes it like that. And the Bahag, if we're right, is saying it like that. You shouldn't say a bracha at all. Possibly, I don't know, I'm just thinking.
I understand not saying a bracha, but it doesn't make sense to say you can't.
Well, maybe it's a problem of Baal Tosef. The Torah didn't command you to continue to do a mitzvah.
I can count any day I want, so.
That's true. But you're clearly doing it as part of a mitzvah, right?
It doesn't mean anything.
Today is Sunday.
I'm not adding on to the mitzvah of Sphira. I'm just not.
That's
doing
true.
The mitzvah.
Okay. I mean, right. Okay. I hear. If we believe.
If I start counting 55 days.
Maybe. Maybe that's the only way that Baal Tosef would apply is if you continue into Shavuos, right? And after. Okay, fine. Anyway, the point is that's what he says. Why does the Bahag say that you shouldn't count anymore? L'fi shekulan mitzvah achihi, because the whole thing is one block of a mitzvah. Umikemet sheshachach mehem yom echad, if you forget one day, hare kol hacheshbon batel mimenu. The entire count is gone. There's no point anymore. The entire count is gone. That's really interesting. First of all, the Sefer Echinuch uses the language of batel, so that's cool. Like, we're going to see that in a second. But let's ask, which idea makes more sense? Should you view Sfira Omer? I know that, like, don't be biased by majority. Is there a fallacy, like majority fallacy or something like that?
It's argument ad populum.
Ad populum? Okay. Right? Okay, it could be. So don't pay attention to the fact that many of the Rishonim seem to argue with the Bahag. If I were to tell you that Sfira Omer was one long mitzvah over the course of 49 days, would that be crazy to you, or would you that be acceptable to you? Which idea makes more sense? Okay, fine. Raise your hand if you think that it makes more sense for it to be all separate mitzvot. Every night is a separate mitzvah. Okay? And raise your hand if you believe that it makes more sense for it to be one full mitzvah. Wow, it's like pretty much divided evenly. That's pretty cool. Okay, so that's interesting. So someone who said that it makes more sense to be separate mitzvot, why do you say that? Somebody tell me. Okay, give me a svara. Why does that make more sense?
I thought that there might be a possibility of there being two mitzvot.
No. Two mitzvot? Okay, I'm giving you two options. How about that? Either it's one big mitzvah or 49 separate mitzvot. What makes more sense to you?
One of the mitzvot to count every night, which is the mitzvah that says Shemot.
Okay. So it's interesting that there might be actually two. So here's what I thought maybe you were thinking, and I'm like, he can't possibly be thinking that, and apparently you weren't thinking that, which is that there's possibly two mitzvot, one to count the days and one to count the weeks. And the Beit HaLevi says that if you forget one night, you should actually continue to count weeks instead of days. With a bracha, it sounds like.
How does it work out that it says you count 50 days and 7 weeks?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? So I was looking at some of the Mefarshim on why it's, what is it, 50 days or 49 days? So the Rush has this famous answer that the Torah likes to round up the whole numbers. You know, we don't have to get into that. That's why it's 70 people who go down to Egypt, and why it's, what is it, 40 lashes instead of 39 lashes? No,
Yeah. Malchus opens up 40. Right. All right, Malchus minus one.
Basically. Right, exactly, exactly. So so that's what the Rush suggests, which is interesting. All right, anyway, guys, tell me. Okay, I'm not getting any svaras from you guys, so I'll just tell you some of my svaras, having thought about it before this year, I guess. Why does it make sense for there to be separate mitzvot? Possibly because we mentioned there's so much hefsek between each night. You don't have any other mitzvah that you have, like, hefsek between an entire day, 24 hours that go between. What? It's an entire 24 hours? If you believe that it's one full mitzvah, there's a hefsek between each time that you count. So much.
Why are you saying hefsek? Because it just seems like...
an interruption. Between.
There's no interruption.
Yes, there is.
It's like you're waiting for...
The way you're thinking of it sounds like that if you make a... when you count, that carries it over. That gives you a little bridge to the next time you count. Or something like that.
Yeah, like you're waiting.
Okay, interesting. Well, okay, fine. So that's one possibility. Like, we don't have other mitzvah like that.
That's not like interruption, though.
Right? Okay. Right. Usually we don't allow you to just walk around and do other stuff while you're in the middle of a mitzvah.
Are you saying like you should have like constant focus for the...
You obviously can't. We don't expect you, so it makes more sense for it to be one mitzvah. Another thing is that we just don't have the precedent of another mitzvah that's really like this. So it makes sense that it would be individual mitzvah, because that's usually what we have. Another possibility is what we mentioned earlier. I'm surprised nobody mentioned it again, which is the fact that we say a bracha every single night.
Yeah, that's wacko. No, only...
It makes sense if it's separate bracha. If it's separate mitzvah. Okay, fine. All right. Okay, what could possibly be reasons that it should be one mitzvah? So the Bahag already told us one, which is... it has to be Tamimot. It says it in the Torah. What do you want from me? It says it in the Torah. Count 7 weeks. It says that it should be Sheva Shabbatot Tamimot. Okay? What do you want to do? That's what it says. Now, also, it's one mitzvah. I guess Morty mentioned that. It's one mitzvah in the Torah to count. So maybe it's counts the whole time, the whole course of the time. It's hard to say, I think. You're saying the entire idea of counting ever requires there to be a full count. By the way, Rav Haigon and others suggest that if you miss a night, the next night you should make a bracha and count both nights. Like, say, last night was X, and tonight is Y. The chida...
the fact that you say a bracha every night to begin with points to the fact that it should be...
which is what we mentioned, right. The bracha, unless, like we mentioned, maybe it's because of hefsek that you have to make a bracha every night, even if it's within one thing. Or we also mentioned the Rav Soloveitchik idea that maybe it's part of, the entire point is count one after another, one after another.
Maybe each night is an individual mitzvah, but it's just contingent. But since it's counting, it's contingent on the fact...
yeah.
It's part of...
so maybe the Bahag actually and Tosfos agree, they just didn't realize it.
Rav Haigon hold this point. Previous night and night, like continuously, like let's say we finish 5 nights of series.
Oh, I don't know how far that would go. I don't know. Okay, but we should continue, guys, because we are rapidly running out of time. Okay, the Chida says that it goes so far as to say that the brachot that you made previously are a brachot levatala, so much so that you should put reminders for yourself and everything that you can do in your power to prevent yourself from making a brachot levatala. That's a big problem. Now, maybe that women who are not chayav in mitzvah say shizman grama shouldn't say brachot at all. Maybe that's the thing that's informing the Mishnah Berurah, saying that women should not count with a bracha if they're going
to
count.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what? You shouldn't make brachas ever?
For Sfira.
Oh, for Sfira. Why shouldn't you? Is it getting into interesting stuff? Why would you not make a bracha at all for Sfira, lest there be a bracha levatala?
Well, I don't like that.
You're saying, shouldn't all people be worried that they're going to make a mistake? That's number one. Let me ask you another question. This is what the Stei Chemed that I've been quoting before. The Stei Chemed asks a beautiful kasha. He says, aren't you worried you're going to die? Then it will be a bracha levatala. Right?
I don't know. There's like a...
what if in the middle of your count, you pass away? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom.
I feel like this is simple.
Shouldn't you start... how could it be, he asks, and it's a tzarech ian for him, how can it be that Chazal would institute a bracha in the first place if the Bahag is correct, and it's a one full, and you can be make, and the Chida is correct that you're making a bracha levatala?
I'm not quoting anybody here, but I'm pretty sure that death would be...
yeah.
So number one, maybe we just don't, think about that. That's too much existential dread for us.
When you start a bracha, and then if you die in the middle of it, like, oh, now it's a bracha levatala.
Yeah, you got to be worried about such. No, I'm just kidding. but that's what the Stei Chemed says. Sarach Ian. Maybe it's onus, or maybe we say that all you really need is consecutive counts one after another, and you got that consecutive counts when you pass away, right? Chas v'shalom, that you got all the consecutive counts. You weren't required, you know, after one dies, they are not chayav in mitzvot, generally, right? Okay, so there's lots of nafkamina. Does the bracha levatala idea make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
It's tough. Do we have this? I mean, can't get into it here, and also we're running out of time. But it's interesting to explore. Does it make sense that you're doing everything right, everything right, everything right? Then at some point you do something wrong, and it undoes and causes a tremendous amount of avera for yourself. You are on the 48th night. It's like dominoes, right? It's unbelievable. You're on the 48th night, and you miss it. 49th night, you miss it. The entire thing is batal. Not only batal, but you were mevatal. You know, the bracha,
I mean,
the entire time.
Didn't discuss like brachos about talavitzis. We should probably establish why there are even brachos there in the first place.
Why are there brachos for Sfirat HaOmer?
No, why would there be brachos on every single night in the first place?
Right, okay, right. So
it would be theoretically one.
Whatever reason that would be, right, whatever reason you can figure out, why is there, you know, how do we understand the bracha levatala thing? And you can get into that. I don't know if everybody goes according to the Chidah. It doesn't seem like that's the majority opinion. But he is quoted. He is quoted a lot. Okay. There's lots of nafkaminas that we can't get into. I'm sorry. But first of all, we talked about what if somebody passes. Why aren't we worried that somebody will pass away? Number two is a question that people ask is, what if you know from the outset that you will miss a day? Because let's say you're going under for surgery or something like that. You know for a fact you're going to miss a day. Maybe you shouldn't start making it with a bracha. It's not onus per se. You're scheduling it. You could push it off. But let's say it is a life-threatening thing. But you know you're not going to be able to do it. So maybe it's about onus that you can't control what happens on that day. You can control what happens today. There was a question of someone who becomes bar mitzvah during the time of Sfirat HaOmer. Before, he might have been counting before, but he was counting as a kid. He was counting as a pater. So now he's continuing into being chayiv. Does the count? Is it considered as if it's tamimot and you should continue to count with a bracha, or should he now stop saying a bracha? Which is interesting. Now that he's become bar mitzvah, he should stop saying a bracha. Michas Chinuch talks about this. You can look into it. Last kind of nafkamina that I could think of is, what if someone converts in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer? So he wasn't even Jewish before. Now all of a sudden he's Jewish. Can he start the count in the middle? It's an interesting question, right? Now, again, if they're separate mitzvot, you can't, right? Okay. What does the Rambam hold? We have 5 minutes left. Too many questions. No longer. I love the discussion. That's the problem. Is that you put material on and you know there's going to be a lot of questions. You gotta wonder. Did you notice something strange about the Rambam? Did you notice something weird? He agrees with Tosfos probably. I don't know what that means. Does he say anything about if you forget to count one night? He does not. That's really weird, because the Gaonim discuss it and the early Rishonim discuss it. He knew of the Bahag and didn't like the Bahag at all in some instances. So what's the deal? Why doesn't he mention it? So what would you say, though, if you looked at the Rambam before? Let's read the main part of this, right? First of all, he says the De'oraisa. This is in Hilchot Tuminim Musafin, Perek Zayin. He says it's a biblical positive mitzvah. It sounds like even today, right? He says if one forgot and failed to count at night, he may count at the daytime. The counting must be performed while standing. But if one counted while sitting, he has fulfilled his duty. Okay. He says everybody is required except for women and slaves. And then he says, I think this is going to be crucial for us. Every night he should count. Every night he should count. And if you count it without a blessing, it's not ma'akev. You can continue to count. He doesn't have to count all over again with a bracha. Okay? So, what does the Rambam hold? He doesn't say. It's very frustrating. It could very well be, these might be 2 points towards the idea that he agrees with Tosfos against the Bahag. Which is, number one, the fact that he doesn't have it in there might mean
it wasn't even a question.
Of course he continued the next night. Like every other mitzvah, every time the new mitzvah comes, you say it again. You do it again. There wasn't a question of whether you shouldn't say it anymore. That's number one. Very good. And number two might be that the fact that he emphasizes you have to make a bracha. You know what the Kesef Mishnah says on this? Pshita. Like, that's his comment on the Rambam here. You have to make another bracha every single night? Yes, of course, pshita. Maybe it's not so pshita, because the Bahag might hold, well, he doesn't, but you might think, if you hold like the Bahag, that you don't have to make a bracha every night, because it's one big mitzvah. So the Rambam's trying to tell you, make a bracha every night, because it's not one big mitzvah, it's 49 separate mitzvah. this might explain why there's no Shehech Chiyanu, according to the Rambam, for that everybody asks. According to the Rambam, who holds it to a Raisa, so you can't say Shezecher, you don't have to say Shehech Chiyanu. And the Rambam has a very precise definition of when you say Shehech Chiyanu on things, which is that you don't do it all the time. Right? It's uncommon-ish. It's from time to time, he says, right? And or it's something that you acquire, like new tzitzit or tefillin or something like that. So that is that's a reason to say Shachya. So maybe you guys aren't. I'm gonna put this forward, but I want you guys to argue with me in your heads because we don't have time for you to argue out loud. But I want to put forward that if the Rambam does hold it, it's 49 separate mitzvot. Maybe that's the reason why you don't have to say Shachyanu. Why? Because it's pretty common if it's 49 times that you perform a mitzvah. That's a very common mitzvah, right? Maybe it's not spread over the entire calendar, but it's over the course of 3 months or, you know, overlaps over 3 months.
Are they separate mitzvot or are they not separate
mitzvot? According to the Rambam, if they are separate mitzvot, then the Rambam makes a lot of sense for not making you say Shachyanu, or rather that we don't say Shachyanu for this mitzvah. That maybe over the course of 49 days, that's more. That's about the same amount of time that you say Kiddush on Friday night, right? You don't say Shachino for Friday night Kiddush, right? Okay. But keep it in mind, right? With 1 minute left, I wanted to mention that maybe this can tell us why it matters, why the Bahag matters. We've been discounting the Bahag the whole time. But what's the reason for the Bahag? We know Tamimot. He cares about it being one mitzvah. What's the reason why the Rambam believes that you should be doing Sefer HaOmer? What's the Tamei HaMitzvah for the Rambam? What's the reason why you do Sefer HaOmer? The Rambam says in the Guide for the Perplexed, in order to raise the importance of this day, meaning Shavuos, we count the days that pass since the preceding festival, just as one who expects his most intimate friend on a certain day counts the days and even the hours. You're so excited to receive the Torah on Shavuot. So the Rambam says you count each day. You're so excited. You're so excited. So according to the Rambam, maybe that explains why it's 49 separate mitzvot. Because each day you are increasing in your excitement. And each day you are adding to that excitement. I'm counting this day. And I'm counting that day. And I'm counting that day. All the way till I get to Shavuot. It's, in other words, according to the Bahag, the reason why we count is because the count in and of itself is valuable. It is tamimot. It has to be whole.
It's the increased excitement of every day.
Hold on. That's not the Bahag. The Bahag says the count has to be tamima. It has to be whole. It has to be perfect. Okay? So, right? You guys listening? Right? In order to get to Shavuos, you have to be a person who has gotten a complete count. You have to be whole as well. This is part of your process of becoming a perfect person to receive the Torah. The idea is that the count in and of itself is a means and an end. Right? It has to be perfect. That's the whole point. And if you don't do it perfectly, you haven't done it at all. But according to the Rambam, the whole point is that this is a means to the ends of Shavuos, of Matan Torah. And so therefore, each day is an increase of that excitement. Keep on going, keep on going. I'm counting. I'm so excited to see my friend at the end. That's the Torah for us. And so maybe the Tam for the mitzvah actually tells us as well that the Rambam holds that it's a 49 separate mitzvot. With this in mind, maybe we can understand why the Bahag has so much importance, because really both ideas are important. Number one is that we're getting more excited. Matan Torah is coming up. Whether you stay up all night, whether you learn all day during the day, we're increasing in the excitement. We're counting down to the, or really counting up to the day of Matan Torah. But the Bahag is also important because we want to be perfect people to receive the Torah. We want to be tmimot. And maybe that's embedded in the halacha and why we hold like the Bahag, as well as the Rambam and Tosfos and all the rest.